everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hell World. I am joined, as always, by Serge.
Hello, nasty weirdos. I brought it back. I took a week off.
And the mysterious L.
Guten Tag, and beautiful babies.
This week, let's just say a lot of stuff happened, which is kind of the way the world works. But this week, in our little slice of insanity that is Hell World, there was just a ton of things going on that I don't know how many of them we're going to like really get into the weeds on and how many of them we're just going to cover on the surface, but there's just stuff happening, which is wild. Because like sometimes when me and the guys like get together to brainstorm what we're going to talk about, we're like, well, we got three headlines. I hope that covers it.
Yeah, that has happened.
This week, not so much. This week has been chock-a-blocka full of headlines. But before we get into all that stuff, let's play a content warning.
Content warning. The Adventures in Hell World podcast talks in depth about QAnon, which means we have to talk about all kinds of child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Boom.
Yeah, that's right. This ain't your mama's podcast.
Yes.
What kind of podcasts do
moms listen to?
I mean, I hope sexy podcasts, because I'm a known lover of moms. This is coming up on a few of our shows in the past.
If my mom listens to any podcasts, they're about quilting.
Yeah, I mean, I've met your mom, and she's a delight, but I would not want to find out if she likes sexy podcasts.
No.
That would be a shocker.
Quilting podcasts. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, there's a million of them.
You got to figure that there would have to be, because there's a lot of downtime in quilting. So there's like, I imagine that you listen to the podcast while your hands are just working, right?
They're all deeply political. They're just rife with it, like the secret Nazi communists. Like, oh man, they're so dark.
What's the name of your favorite political quilting podcast?
Oh,
mine is White Tapestry.
The right hand stitch.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh man, you guys are thinking way on your feet this week.
I'm terrible with puns, and L knows it. He just put me right on the spot, and I was like, I'll think of something. I just need to put the word right in it.
Yeah, you got there, buddy. That was why I offered mine up first, to give you like the extra 10 seconds worth of time for your brain to work.
14 stitches.
Now all I'm thinking of is like a Family Feud version of this podcast, where like various right-wing stitching quilting podcasts are popping up on the screen. And so far, Sarge is hitting on all of them.
How many dog whistles does Elle and Sarge know?
Right, but I'm just like saying that you didn't get anywhere where the person said something that's obviously terrible, and the entire family groans for 5 seconds before they then do the fake clapping and saying good answer when they know they're getting a strike. So like,
how do we feel about Hail Quiltler? Quilter?
You're heading towards strike territory. Cash out, Sarge.
Target.
Yes.
We expected more from you, because quilting, like being Caucasian, is in your blood.
Yes.
Your pure Aryan blood.
Yes.
Oh no, I'm they won't come for me for that. I'm such a mishmash of Europe.
If you wanted to work Hitler into there, I would suggest Mein Comforter.
Oh, that's a good one.
that's gonna be like when Mike Lindell finally goes full hard right. That's gonna be my pillow's like signature product, is gonna be Mein Comforter. Speaking of the pure bloods, as it were, which is not a this is like the QAnon idiot world and not our headlines, but I've been seeing a bunch of people now more aggressively pushing the narrative that they don't want to be called unvaccinated anymore. They want to be called purebloods, because their blood isn't rife with the tainted vaccine that toxifies your body and impurifies you, which, using the terminology pureblood to describe yourself and being in a group of people that are basically Nazis is not really that great a move unless you just want to be really on brand about that stuff. And you're just like,
yeah.
I mean, I've got to imagine that they're going to pivot off of that the first time some like unvaccinated African American's just like, yeah, I'm a pure blood. And they're going to be like, wait a minute, but we're not so sure about that.
I'm the opposite of that because I'm going to be scheduling my booster, especially before the holidays and especially before a trip I'm taking in January. So, yeah.
I do have a big event in January that requires me to be around people. So I'm sort of on the booster shot clock.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before the podcast, and I propose that instead of them trying to call themselves pure bloods, they should just call vaccinated people mug bloods. Because J.K. Rowling is like a turfy loser anyway, so like let's just rope her into this bullshit because no harm, no foul. The people who love Harry Potter can still love Harry Potter, but I don't know anyone that still loves Harry Potter and still is just like, and you know what? I also think that J.K. Rowling is still pretty cool. Like they're all just like, look, I like what she made, but she sucks.
Yeah, there is some aggressive death of the artist in the Harry Potter series. It's just kind of
weird. Yeah, like, there's so many...
We've mentioned this on the podcast before. I love CeeLo Green still. He's a monster, but he made good music. Same with Michael Jackson. Sometimes you just have to separate that shit. So I try not to judge people that like Harry Potter any more than I was already judging them for having their favorite book series before children. Some 36-year-old woman, and she's just like, my favorite books are Harry Potter. I'm just like, you know those are for children, right? Those are like children's novels? Okay, whatever.
on the weeb side of it, I grew up loving Rurouni Kenshin, and that guy is a convicted pedophile. That one's a little harder to go back to. But... Man.
Well, I mean, yeah. It also helps that like they were making that cartoon in the 90s or whatever, so it just looked bad. It's easy not to go back to because it looks like shit. So it like helps. It's not like if you found out that the people that created Cowboy Bebop were doing genocide on the side. You're just like, fuck, man, this sucks.
Because this animation slaps, and damn, I would like to enjoy it still.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's so, like, Death of the Author is so weird. Like, you have to figure out where you stand on it anymore, because something you like is going to be made by someone truly awful. It's just coming for you.
Oh, luckily the internet allows us all to have it both ways, because you can still like, and consume media from an artist that is horrible without supporting them, even sort of. You can just use the internet to steal their shit in any number of ways. Now, the Adventures in Hellworld podcast itself does not support the theft of anything. That's technically a crime, so don't do that. But if you were inclined to do that, you can, and therefore you can still consume that stuff guilt-free.
Yeah, like, if I were to want to read, for example, that I brought up, if I wanted to read the Kenshin manga again, you know, maybe I'd just find, do torrent sites even exist anymore? Or I'd go to like a secondhand bookstore. Like,
the answer is yes. And hypothetically, if you wanted to steal them, you could. And hypothetically, if I wanted to steal every album for every shitty artist that I still enjoy, I could do that too.
Yeah, they're all out there. Oh, Stitch Krieg. I just thought of that. Stitch Krieg.
I love that we're still there. God, I really hope that, like, L just says, good speed, Patriots, and Sarge just jumps in with another dumb right-wing quilting thing at the end. His brain should be churning with them for like, the next 90-plus minutes.
That's how it works. It's all cooking in the back now, and I'll think of a real good one as soon as we sign off. But, yeah, had to get that one out there. Oh, man.
We've vamped for a little while. Do we want to get into the fucking grim reality of our world and situation by doing our headlines?
Yeah, give me that news bump.
From the digital headlines to the digital front lines, it's Q's in the news.
Old Buffalo Hat Q Shaman himself actually got sentenced, and I think it is the largest sentence so far handed down to a January 6th rioter.
Yes. The Q Shaman got himself 41 months of prison time from his plea deal, which I've seen a lot of. The thing is, it's a really weird thing because on the one hand, he didn't do anything violent, but on the other hand, he was very obviously trying to make himself the center of attention, and he wanted to be the spectacle and the spotlight of all this stuff. So this sentencing, it's really, it's like you can look at it from two sides, where like they threw a book at a guy that was nonviolent, but on the other side, he was a guy that stood in the well of the Senate and was just like, I am the champion of the people that have attacked the Capitol. Like, celebrate me. So it's like when you put yourself out there as like the focal point of this thing, you can expect like the hammer to fall on you a little bit harder.
And yeah, I mean, if you go out fucking dressed like a lightning rod, you shouldn't be surprised when lightning strikes you.
Yeah, if you stand in front of the book, they're gonna throw it at you. If you demand for the book to hit you, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, that sounds like a religious thing. That sounds like a Christianity thing. I stand in front of the book, please hit me.
I mean, you're probably right.
Like, and I want to see that music video. I just want to see somebody with like their arms outstretched, like appealing to some like giant Bible that just crushes them.
Let's see.
Jane Dream McNabb, who, if you're not following on Twitter, she's a very good researcher into the right-wing extremism and this kind of stuff, stated, quote, the message sent here is, if this is what a plea deal netted the QAnon guy for nonviolent leadership participation, imagine how long your sentence will be if you go to trial for violent offense and lose.
Yeah, so, like zip tie guy?
Yeah, like zip tie guy and the people that actually like knocked in the windows and kicked down the doors to get in, like the people that were actually doing stuff that was violent and was aggressive. This is if the nonviolent lightning rod guy got himself 41 months, what are you looking at if you decide to like test the patience of the DOJ and make them go to trial and make them say, here's the videotape of this idiot doing this dumb shit. Here's his cell phone data tracking him walking through the Capitol that we can then like in real time monitor from the cameras.
I mean, Mike, have you heard anything about the nature of his plea? Did he like flip on anyone, or is it just like you agree to never dress like an idiot and do this shit again? Like, do you know any of that?
He didn't. I don't think he had any information on anyone above him, because he is of himself just a loner who was building the Q Shaman brand. It wasn't like he was tied to the Oath Keepers or the Three Percenters or the Proud Boys or any of those groups. And that was one of the main reasons why QAnon was so able to aggressively throw him into, kick him to the curb. Once the coup failed and once Daddy Trump wasn't going to be president anymore, QAnon was able to call him a deep state Antifa infiltrator. And that was because I don't think he had anything. I think his guilty plea was just, look, I did it. I throw myself on the mercy of the court. And the court was like, our mercy is 41 months because, again, you were doing everything you possibly could to make this about yourself, which when you are committing a crime and an army of people committing crimes, trying to make yourself king crime might not be the best plan.
King crime.
Maybe he and other people like him should go ahead and ask Henry Tarrio what prison's like before they decide to do a little more crime.
Yeah.
For those of you listening who might not know, Henry Tarrio is a leader in the Proud Boys, and he's currently on day 70, as of when this article was posted, of his 5-month jail term, and he was appealing to do the rest of his sentence at home because this jail is inhumane and bad. I don't like it. This jail stinks. The food's not good. It's unsanitary. It's just like, oh, wow, yeah, it sounds like prison is not great, and it never has been great, and fuck you. I expect this guy apparently to come out of whatever, you know, he like whatever sentence he has, and I expect him to start stumping for prison reform. Will he? Absolutely not. But should he? Absolutely. I mean, he's griping about it as we speak.
I guess a bunch of these idiots have started griping for prison reform because they've all been in the Washington D.C. jail.
Oh, Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about how she saw a bunch of the 1-6 defendants in their jail cells awaiting trial, and how inhumane and cruel all of this is, and how terribly unfair it is. Is Marjorie going to lead the Republican Party on a quest for prison reform? Absolutely not. All these people are saying is, I'm white. How the fuck is this happening to a white person?
Yeah.
These inhuman conditions in America's prisons were supposed to only be for those people that are not white and thus not the privileged people. They never cared for a moment that black people and Hispanic people who are targeted by police far more aggressively than whites are, that have to deal with our prison system far more often than white people do, they suffer in this bullshit, and none of them care. None of them care in the slightest. But now that it's my constituents, read white people, that are feeling the taste of how shitty America's prison system is, oh my God, the plight of the white prisoner in America, who will speak to that? Who will get on their soapbox and demand that to happen?
Yeah, oh man, and how many of these people do you think were the people pumping the fist over Gitmo back in the day? Where they're just like, yeah, that person's Arab, put him in that prison that abides by no rules, where torture is legal, fucking get him.
Oh yeah, we
just sent some of these people to Gitmo, let's do it.
Yeah, the people, like Sean Hannity was talking about how he was going to get waterboarded to prove that it wasn't torture. Spoiler alert, Hannity never got waterboarded because he was a coward and he knew that it was torture. When it comes to non-white people, the Geneva Convention can be thrown into a fucking shredder. They don't care about anything. Torture is great. I mean, as sick as the Trump administration was, and it was very bad, under the 8 years of W, we actually had a national conversation about, is torture good? Which, I mean, holy shit.
No, that's why we don't do it. We outsource it.
Yeah, did you have to do any of that, like, SEAL training, Sarge, where, like, they actually torture you to show you what it's like? Or
I thought you were going
to
ask me if I did any torture, and I was that's not a conversation that I want recorded.
Like, yeah, would you like to admit on camera, or on camera, because we're doing this live for all of those people out there. No, would you like to commit to on a radio broadcast, say whether or not you did any torture? Did you do a torture?
I didn't.
Well, the truth is that no U.S. military personnel did any torturing. Several of them, however, did do enhanced interrogation.
Yes.
And no, I didn't go through any, like, advanced, like, SEAL training or anything where they actually do that. Everybody in basic training goes through the gas chamber where you get CS gas and, like, to prove that to you that your gas mask works. And it's real fun.
Yeah, and to explain to you why you should be wearing your fucking gas mask, you huge dum-dum, because if you're not wearing it, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
Man, that's what we should do to fucking these quote-unquote pureblood idiots. We should just be like, hey, if you don't want the vaccination, that's fine. Go into this room and we're going to intubate you. Like, we're just going to make you experience what it's like to have the tube if you need it. And then you can make your informed vaccination. Like, here, time for your 24 hours of the tube down your throat. Let's see if you come out of it with a different opinion on how vaccinations are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like, actually, like, okay, well, then it's like the old chickenpox days. You have to go get exposed to COVID, you have to go get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if you want herd immunity and you won't get vaccinated, then just get it and recover from it. I mean, that's fair's fair. You guys are talking about herd immunity and all that stuff. So just stock up on your vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc and your ivermectin, and you'll be fine, right?
Yeah, your sheep drench.
Yeah.
Is it a little hypocritical of me to want people to talk about how torture is bad and then say I want the anti-vax to have to do 24 hours of intubation? Yes. No follow-ups.
I mean, is it torture or is it actively thinking they should understand the consequences of their actions?
I mean, probably a little column A, a little column B. Yeah. Like, for what I understand, getting the tube sucks. So I bet the people that have to get the tube would say that it might be torturous.
Ones that survive, if you're on intubation, there's a good chance you're not coming back home.
Yeah, intubation is absolutely a last ditch, and that's why so many people die from it, and that's what leads to people like Alex Jones and other conspiracy theorists saying that the intubation itself kills you, that, like, you're fine until they put the tube in you, and then they kill you with it, because...
Well, dying's not so bad. It just brings you into the warm, bosomy embrace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only Lord and Savior that should be allowed in our country, according to Michael Flynn.
I believe you mean white Jesus.
Why would I have to specify? Jesus is clearly white.
Yeah, that had to be so odd in ancient Palestine to have the Messiah just have incredibly pale skin and blonde hair. I mean, it probably made him stand out. It probably made people buy into him more because that was how he looked. But
so where did former General Flynn say these incredibly insightful things? What exactly did he say?
Michael Flynn was at your standard Michael Flynn grifto rally, and while he was standing before a crowd of basically QAnon people, he declared that America is it was a Reawakening America conference, at this conference, Flynn declared that America needs one religion under God. And that is like our new message and our new position for the country is that we can't be allowing all this multiculturalism and other non-Christian religions to be allowed to be sticking around, as it were. So our boy Flynn, as everyone has pointed out, this kind of flies in the face of the First Amendment, which is really supposed to be the bedrock principle of America, that we let people say what they want, we let people worship who they want, all of that kind of good stuff. Our boy Thomas Jefferson, who QAnon is always whining about liberals wanting to cancel him, Thomas Jefferson said, quote, "It doesn't bother me if someone worships one god or no gods. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg. It doesn't cost me money and it doesn't hurt me physically for someone's religious system. It doesn't impact me at all. I don't care." So, like, the founding fathers were really, really they weren't hardcore Christians. They were very sort of they weren't big into religion, as it were, and they saw what happened in Europe and the rest of the world when you had religious-based monarchies. And then the Protestant king of a country dies, and he's got a Catholic cousin and a Protestant cousin, and it's like, who should be king? Oh, I know what will happen. We'll go to war to try to install one of them, because that impacts the entire nation and all the balance of power in Europe. And so when they founded America, they were like, you know what we're going to do? Fuck religion. It's bullshit. It's dumb. It just leads to fucking all kinds of infighting and bullshit. So we're not doing it. We're doing none of it. And 200 years later, Americans are like, you know what we need in America now? More religion. Fuck the founding fathers.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. We definitely tilted towards more religion. As someone who lives in technically the Bible Belt, yeah, I've stopped at a gas pump that actively spouted Bible verses at me one time. Like, it's we've skewed towards the more side. Well, it's good
I love that he was speaking at a Reawakening America convention, yeah. America convention, because the implication there is that America was awakened before and then went to sleep. And it's just like, okay, well, would you like to pinpoint to me the exact time that America went back to sleep? Because if I had to guess, I'd probably assume it was around the time of the civil rights movement, or if you want to go further back to that, like around the same time as women's suffrage, or around the same time as we stopped owning people. Like I just love all the clever ways that they say their agenda without trying to say their agenda. We're reawakening America. We're taking it back to when America was great. It's just like, okay, well, why don't you tell me the exact date that America stopped being great? And then they're just like, because they know that if they give you an answer, you could just be like, hey, isn't that the same day that Black people were allowed to integrate? And they'll just be like, well, yeah, but this is coincidence. I mean, what does it have to do with anything? Yeah. It doesn't change the way mustard tastes. And it's just like, okay, good.
Yeah. I wanna let you know what the crawl on the bottom of the screen for the Michael Flynn thing was. On the left, you see Reawaken America. And then in the middle, it says presented by AmericanFaith.com. And then on the right, it says request tickets at timetofreeamerica.com. So, like, they're laying it on just a little thick at this rally.
There's a lot of
free America from secularism.
There's a lot of words in there that are very scary. I mean, they're all but saying replacement theory.
Yeah.
Like getting real close to it.
Yeah, Trump 2024. The rules have changed. I mean, we're going to that place. We're going to that shitty land.
The rules have changed.
They're ready to fucking sit you down and, like, you know, fucking peel your eyelids back and make you watch. I don't know, that show, fucking Davy and Goliath or whatever it was. Like, just like, you know, make you watch Christian children's programming until you love Jesus again.
Yeah. The people who are always complaining about the left wing reopening re-education camps and making us conform to their doctrines are the people who are right now trying to edit our history books so that people can't find out about what monstrous racist Americans were in the 1960s and all that good shit. It's strange how re-education is as like a pejorative slur in their minds that the evil left does, but in reality, they're the ones who desperately want to rewrite history. They're the ones.
And then the heroic, benevolent Christian whites graciously invited Africans in droves to pick their lucrative cotton fields, and everyone was happy. That's how they want the textbooks to read.
Thomas Jefferson definitely got consent from that woman he owned.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say like the ideal like Christian conservative like, you know, history textbook. It just like the signing of the Declaration of Independence happens, and then the next chapter is just like a single page that said, and then some stuff happened before Donald Trump, the world's greatest president, appeared.
Yeah, but pretty much. Yeah, that's their view of American history, is the glorious revolution ellipsis Donald Trump. That's it. Like, if they're feeling saucy, they might let Reagan have a little time in the sun to have a little shine.
Oh, Reagan.
But that's about it. I mean, it's really incredible the way Republican history works in our country, that for the longest time, until Trump won the presidency, the Republicans literally had no no staking post to like claim as their actual, like, the founder of their movement, the people that the guy that like led America. They had to stick to Reagan, and he was last president in 1988. I mean, a lot of people, like people younger than me, did not grow up under President Reagan. So he's not a cultural touchstone, but you think about all the presidents they had around that time, and Nixon resigned in disgrace. Ford was a bumbling moron who lost to Jimmy fucking Carter. Then Pappy Bush lost to Bill Clinton, and W. Bush was a colossal failure and a train wreck. So literally, out of all these presidents, they were like, God damn it, the only person we could even like try to claim was good was the senile actor who gave arms to Iran, but he was great because he managed to limp through his 8-year presidency without having to resign or losing a re-election or getting us involved in a failed war in Iraq and letting New Orleans sink under the ocean or anything. So that's what we call a win in Republican world.
Yeah, and I love how like conservatives got themselves all twisted up and not so bad over the Obama administration, that they were just like, fuck it. Like, if the next guy we get in is a colossal train wreck and a fuck up, like, it doesn't matter. We still just have to go all in on him. It does. Like, they're just like, it doesn't matter if we get George W. Part 2. It, like, if this, like, we can't afford to keep taking these L's. We just have to push all of our fucking chips in the middle on the next guy. And the next guy happened to be Donald Trump. Holy shit.
Trump reached Kim Jong-il levels of, like, just cognitive dissonance. Just what he, glorious leader, can, like, score 5 touchdowns by himself and, like,
play golf and charge. Yeah, played golf and shot an 18. Yeah, just all of that stuff.
Donald Trump was such a huge fuck up and like just a monstrous influence on our country. It makes even us liberals miss the warm blanket like embrace of George W. Yeah. It's like, oh, GW, please come back.
We didn't know how good we had it. Oh no,
you were too stupid to fuck up as bad as Trump did.
He was a monster, but at least he was a political monster. Like, God, Trump is for himself.
Well, the Republican Party just kicked the Republican Party of Wyoming just kicked Liz Cheney out of the Republican Party. because of her lack of fealty to Donald Trump. I mean, that's what this party is now. It's literally a cult of personality around a failed one-term president who lost his bid for re-election by 8 million votes and got destroyed in the Electoral College. And yet, like, if you go on social media, you'll see so many people in the left of America be like, oh, God, Trump's a shoo-in to beat Biden in 2024. Oh, we're so screwed. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And any hypothetical poll you see where Trump's, like, even in the ballpark, that is just people who have managed, who have the attention span of goldfish, who've forgotten what Trump is like. If the 2024 campaign kicks back up and Donald Trump's on your television every day for 9 months, people are going to remember real quick what a fucking clown he is. Like,
so many sound bites. It didn't matter so much the first time he got elected, but now there's a whole, like, incompetent presidency to attach to those sound bites. So hopefully that would keep the memory fresh.
Go on.
I was going to say, speaking of fresh memories, remember Dealey Plaza? The Kennedys sure do. And so does QAnon, apparently. These dum-dums, I've watched the videos that, like, Karma and you guys post, and they're still in Dealey Plaza 2 weeks later, singing and, like, having a hate-in. I almost call it a love-in.
This is honestly getting to a really dark place now. I've had people, like, talk about how they don't like referring to QAnon as a cult because of the, like, various, like, things that a cult denotes. And they're just like, this shit is actual cult shit. Like, they're like, now they've broken every barrier to what's going on here. And what's happening in Dealey Plaza is now 100% that of the activities of people that are in an actual cult. Like, there was this one moment where Negative 48, the guy who's running this thing, told people to form a single file line and, like, walk towards something. And the crowd just did it. And, like, normally when you're in a group of people that are, like, normal and just hanging out and doing stuff, that line will, like, bunch up. Some people will be moving slower, other people will be moving faster. These people were walking in a snake line in, like, perfect harmony, and it's just, it's unsettling to see these kinds of things that are happening there. And and now they're talking about trying to find a place to actually stay. We talked about, I think last week, that there's a rapper named Prime Minister with a Y instead of an I in Prime, who is talking about he's got property in the area that these people can go to. And this is, look, they've gone to the looking for a compound stage of the cult, which is terrifying. It's really, really bad what's happening here. And the worst part about it is that the Negative 48 is very potentially going to get people hurt and definitely going to have people, like, removed from their families and actually creating a cult in here. The other thing that drives me up a wall is that all the people that have promoted QAnon for these past 4 years, that have done everything, that have laid the ground and thrown the seeds and sprinkled the water to grow shit like this happening, they're all going to disavow this immediately. They're all going to be like, this shit has nothing to do with QAnon. I don't have any truck with it. This ain't me. I didn't do it. La, la, la. I'm not listening. And they're all going to pretend that they don't have blood on their hands from this shit when they all fucking do. Everyone that was promoting this movement for all this time has led to this clown being able to round up, like, 200 or 300 people, drag them to Dealey Plaza, and have them spend nightly vigils waiting for JFK Jr. to burst out of the earth's crust in the grassy knoll and declare himself Trump's vice president or something.
I'm just thinking it's going to be kind of like, I think he's going to be bigger. I don't know if you've seen Cabin in the Woods. It's just going to be the final scene from that. He's going to come up and just JFK Jr. is going to be a huge molten titan, just rip the world in half. And I think that's fair. I think it's time. We've had a good run.
I would accept that. That'd be a good payoff to all of this stuff at this point.
I just like the idea that JFK Jr. is going to erupt from the Earth's core like so much celestial.
Yeah. Just rip it on open. Man,
you know, from the comic book series Earth X and from nothing else.
Oh, boy.
Now, one thing I want to point out about this shit is that the guy Negative 48, who his first name is Mike and his last name is very long and I'm not going to butcher it and fuck the guy for giving him attention, but he stole the name Negative 48 from five different Q drops that had a it was one of those things where Q just throws bullshit out there that has no context, no actual logic to it. Like Q-Drop 2964 is just clear all nons, bracket, negative 48, end bracket, Q. And then the next Q-Drop is dark pattern active, negative 48, limb no nons, Q. So it was Q just trying to be weird and cryptic and stupid with this crap. And this guy who is in the Dramatria and all of this just weird attempts at prophecy and all this nonsense where, but if you take this one sentence and you run it through Dramatria, and then you take another sentence and run it through Dramatria, it comes out the same number. So those sentences are somehow cosmically linked. So it all makes sense in the energy of the world. That's how this works.
Oh,
this guy,
okay.
Yeah, this guy, like, he really obviously wanted to do something like this, and he managed to get people to buy into his readings through the Dramatria. And then one day he was like, hey, people, I ran the numbers, and JFK Jr. is coming back this weekend, so fly out with me to Dallas. Let's go to Daily Plaza, because that's where he's going to show up. And he got a crowd, which is terrifying. And
I almost wish we were big enough that we could afford to go down there and just talk to some Jamokes. I feel like I know enough buzzwords that I could blend in and just genuinely talk to some people. But I'm also glad that we are not, because they terrify me.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. It's at some point when we become podcast millionaires, like we'll sort of be on the hook to do shit like that, or at the very least, we'll have to do some live shows that might put us through QAnon territory.
Live
like
shows.
I said, I'm proud to have finally started to get my first slow trickle of hate follows on Twitter. People that follow me on Twitter, when I go to vet their profile, they have like the American flag, but the stars spell out a Q or whatever. I'm just like, yes, thank you for supporting my Twitter and trying to pay attention to me. I will block you, but I appreciate the attempt.
I don't really pay attention to whoever's following me, so if I have any, congratulations on my weird anime posts and like just responding to people that do way more research to me. So have fun.
Oh, I love my reply guys. They warm my heart. I have a few that are like really active and invested. This one guy got himself a timeout for being a little too anti-Semitic, but he's back, and I really wanted him to come back, because one of the last things he said to me was that the Confederacy was based as fuck, and I just want him to defend that statement. And so like he came back, and I'm like, hey, buddy, why'd you say the Confederacy was based as fuck? He's like, what do you mean? What's the context of that statement? I'm like, there's no context. You said those words. Explain why you said that. I want you to defend white supremacy and the ownership of slavery. That's what I want. I want you to back your comment up. And he's all just like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, I'll quote tweet you if you really need me to. But I just want you and your hateful bigotry to be owned by you, a hateful bigot. So please. So yeah, all my haters and losers out there, I appreciate you as our esteemed former.
As people who follow me on Twitter may have seen, I've labeled our hate listeners / hate viewers on Twitter wretched babies. They're the opposite of our beautiful babies. So shout out to you. Shout out to any wretched babies listening to the podcast. Please consider putting your hate money into our Patreon account so that at some point we will be successful enough to do a live show tour and we can go to Dallas and you can come tell us how much you hate us. And we will tell you that JFK Jr. is in the audience and you'll believe us because you're rubes.
And Dallas would be fun. I want to do Memphis. This is me just wishing. I want to do Memphis. Go to the glass.
How many feet away from Beale would you like to be?
Hmm.
That's a slider. Oh my god, did my reference hoodwink the both of you?
Yeah, it got me. Yep. I was trying to engage with it until I caught up.
My TV right off of me. Come on, guys, get with it.
Jeez. I failed. I should have been better. I will strive to improve.
I only wish the listener could have seen the slack-jawed, like, deer in headlights look on your faces as you were both just like, oh no, neither of us have understood Elle's reference. All right, so do we have anything else to talk about the Dealey cult? I mean, it's fun and weird and terrifying that those people are still there, but they're not really doing anything, right? They're just sort of like walking in lines and just sort of hoping that JFK Jr. decides to reapparate on planet Earth where his dad got killed, far, far away from where he was killed.
Yeah, that part's super ultra weird, but no, I mean,
they got together and they sung We Are the World, which was really like creepy and eerie, and I don't know that's a very good idea for a group of adults to be saying we are the children, especially when you've been hoodwinked by a con artist into living in Daily Plaza for weeks and weeks at a time.
I guess it's better than Daddy's Home.
Yes, small victories and all
gotta,
that.
Gotta take it where you can.
Yeah. The good news is that there are people leaving, and there are people who've become disillusioned with Negative 48 because, shocker of shockers, there's been no payoff and there never will be.
Yeah.
So on that side of things, good, but on the side of the fact that this ever happened in the first place, bad. So it's something that has to be monitored, because if they actually do get a compound and they actually do move somewhere, that's what Negative 48 wants. He wants to be this version of David Koresh. He wants to be a cult leader. And that's pretty obvious given what he's done to this point, and the fact that he's talking to people about, hey, can we find a place for me and the people that are following me to stay indefinitely? ?
You just forced me to swallow my super sellout pill, so I wasn't just like, good, let him. Like, I mean, because I don't know, historically, I feel like we sort of know how the compound works out. And like my Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, L was just like, let them all go there. And then I had to swallow my pill and just be like, no, that would be bad. Please, no. The sanctity of life, yeah. Etc.
Looks to Guyana, looks to Waco, looks to Heaven's Gate was in California.
I think you figure that like the people that are getting onto the compound, like arming up and stuff, they're just like, yeah, we're building this compound. At some point, we're going to go out and we're going to kill our enemies. And then it's just like, ooh, you didn't read the pamphlet. These guns are not for our enemies. They're to defend us while we do the thing that we're probably about to do. JFK Jr. has decided not to arrive in Dallas, so we will go to him. But first, quench your powerful thirst with this Kool-Aid.
marching to the sea. Into the sea.
And that would be terrible, because I've sold out again. I've injected myself with sell out it all is the name of the drug. It's powerful. It courses through my veins, and it gives me an appreciation for life that I don't know or really care about.
Oh my god.
Anyway, hey, all of this Dealey Plaza shit is old hat. That white guy with a gun, that was 60 years ago, baby. We got white guy with a gun today. So let's talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. It seems like it's important and topical. It's certainly more important than the Dealey Plaza shit, right?
I do know that the jury has asked to review the video evidence again. In their deliberations. I think they're on day two.
I'm surprised they're fucking old-time Southern judge. I couldn't possibly allow you to view that footage. In fact, I've instructed all that footage to be burned. That guy is just so in the pocket. It's just insane. I can't imagine him letting the jury look at any evidence.
So this is my prediction. I don't know what you can give me the line on this. I think he'll be found guilty, and I think this judge will just give him like time served.
I see it that way in a lot. I see something happening where he gets convicted of a lesser charge, and then the judge gives him the absolute barest minimum possible. I think that is a possible outcome. This has been one of the weirdest trials to see through the lens of social media, because on the one hand, you have these bad faith right wing actors who don't give a fuck about anything. The same people that were saying that the cop that killed George Floyd didn't do anything wrong and are just pathological in promoting this bullshit for their audience. And that's just how they operate. And then I've seen people who I think are acting in good faith who are just saying stuff like, look, what he did was bullshit, but by the letter of the law, he was defending himself. So it's awful, but he's going to walk and he's right to walk. And then I've seen people say, no, he fucking killed those people and it's bullshit. And the law says that, like, the first thing you have to do is, if you're in a situation like this, you have to retreat.
He's not Judge Dredd. The people he shot, if they were committing crimes, should have a trial. They don't get to, because Kyle Judge Dredd Rittenhouse shot them dead in the street. And that's called murder. Or maybe manslaughter. I don't know exactly what charges they're going for him on. But, like, you, a citizen, do not get to shoot criminals in the street. You're not the American sniper. You're not the...
And the other one had a skateboard.
Yeah.
So, like, what's a guy to do?
Yeah, that's Judge Dredd. Like, that's where we are.
Yeah. So I've just seen so many people talking about this in so many different ways. And between that and the judge being in the bag for him, the idea that he is going to walk has been pretty powerfully stated on social media. And I don't know. I'll have to see what the jury does before I know what happened. Basically, I feel like lesser charges are very possible, but I'm a lay person. I'm a moron. I don't know the legal system. I've watched as much of the trial as I could, but I'm biased. I think the kid murdered people, and I think that he should go to jail for forever.
Well, I mean, The first shooting is the stickiest of the wickets, right? Because it's just like, you know, there's sort of ambiguity as to like how that started or whatever. And maybe he really did shoot that guy in self-defense. But the other people just saw someone like shooting a rifle into a crowd of people and went to engage to stop that person. In any other circumstance, that person should be labeled a hero. Right. They saw an active shooter situation and they like went up with their fucking skateboard or whatever and tried to take the dude out. But because, you know, like Kyle Rittenhouse is just such a delightfully apple faced little white American boy. And he was just there to stop dangerous Black Lives Matter protesters / rioters from raising our city to the ground for no good reason. Like all of a sudden, it's just like, hey, that guy that tried to stop this active shooter. Yeah, guess what? He's not a hero. He deserved to die. He deserved to get shot and killed by the active shooter. And it's just like, what the fuck? Like, what alternate dimension are you guys living in right now?
That's what makes this so confusing to me, is it's just the idea that, like, if you get into that first altercation where someone comes at you and then you get yourself in a moment where now it's quote-unquote self-defense for you to kill that person and you kill them, and now a mob of people come charging at you, it's like you unlocked like the self-defense skill set and now you can just kill that entire mob and it's all self-defense.
Yeah, it's like the kill mode in the Spider-Man outfit. Right. We have detected that you have murdered someone in self-defense. Kill mode activated. And it's just like all of a sudden everyone around you becomes a target because they're trying to stop you from murdering people with your rifle.
Yeah.
And they're just like, well, one of those guys had a gun. And it's just like, isn't part of the whole argument of like being able to carry and conceal a personal firearm this exact situation? Like a bad guy with a gun is shooting people in the street and you, a good guy with a gun, can produce your gun to try to stop them. Like that's literally their excuse for why we're allowed to have weapons still. But in this circumstance, they're just like, well, but the guy that was shooting into the crowd, he was actually a good guy. So the bad guy with the gun shouldn't have got his gun out. And it's just like, Yeah, that's the sort of confusion that us stupid liberals have been saying the whole fucking time. Makes the good guy with a gun argument ridiculous. Like, circumstances are not always the same, but typically if somebody is shooting into a crowd of people, they're a bad guy with a gun.
Oh, one of my favorite things is that the first guy that Rittenhouse killed was a criminal who had a track record, and I think even had some like child sex or like some pedophilia or some other crimes like that. And these people are like, Rittenhouse killed a pedophile, and now people are trying to come at him because the left is all for pedophiles. And my reaction is,
love him.
Do you think that Rittenhouse was playing a fucking video game where this guy conned pedophile to him? Do you think this guy had like his rap sheet floating over his head so that Rittenhouse could see it? Rittenhouse didn't know who this guy was when he pulled the trigger on him. He could have been shooting Mother Teresa for all he knew. It's so ridiculous to, after the fact, be like, oh, that guy was a bad guy, so Rittenhouse killing him is a good thing. Because that's not how we judge who gets shot by people.
Again, if that person did commit those crimes, he should be tried by a jury of his peers and not shot in the streets by some fucking teenager.
But yeah, who the hell made Kyle Rittenhouse Judge Judy and executioner?
Yes.
Oh my God. Well, Joe Rogan says it. Joe Horsepill Rogan says it's all a cult. The left is a cult, and we're railroading.
Poor good dear old Kyle.
Yeah, poor dear Kyle.
Yeah. So Joe Rogan was at a meeting of the smooth brained minds, and when I speak of smooth brains, I mean marbles. I mean that smooth. It was Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, who BT Dubs just lost a series of lawsuits by default in Connecticut. So he's going to be on the hook for hopefully even more millions of dollars coming next year. So if you're dumb enough to buy his Brain Force or his vitamin D or any of that shit, know that you're literally just doing nothing but handing money to the families of Sandy Hook and trying to get Alex to keep his house
through a sieve.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. They were joined by Tim Pool, one of the dumbest people on the internet, and Blair White, who the less said about her, the better, because that's a sad story. But Joe decided to tell us all that this is a left-wing cult, and that poor Kyle's being jammed up by the system, man. And it's really interesting how Rogan has gone from in early 2020 being like, hey, I'd vote for Bernie Sanders. I think Bernie's the change America needs, to smash cut to about 2 years later at the end of 2021 being like, Kyle Rittenhouse is an American hero. And it's just, I mean, seriously, how can you go on that journey that quickly and mean both of those things? Because I really can't imagine being Viva la Revolution and having a Rose Twitter emoji account and being for like socialism in America. And then like 18 months later, you are hoping to have, you're like, hey, Kyle Rittenhouse, come on the Joe Rogan Experience after you get acquitted, which you should be, because these charges against you are bullshit. That's really wild that's the world we live in, where like the god of podcasting is saying that shit now.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they do share a similar level of acting ability, so I could see why they would be bros.
We went from he went from the least funny guy on news radio to like the god of boss podcasting.
Yeah. And I mean, well, you know, like at least it just means that he probably took a little of the shine off of Adam Carolla, who was previously the like fucking like trying to play both sides, but clearly some sort of stupid fucking libertarian guy, podcast king. Yeah, just so dumb. It's just so easy. Like, man, how deep are the pockets of all of these rubes? Again, I've said it so many times. We're playing for the wrong side if we want to make any of that money. Liberals are so tight-pocketed.
Well, you got to remember, they're real deep, but you can fuck around and find out. I learned today that Alex Jones lost that Connecticut lawsuit, but in Texas, the one he lost, his protege, Owen Schroyer, is also on the hook for that and got named because Alex sent him out to do his dirty work. So he's going to get fucking raked over the coals. And to to get legally raked over the coals, we can look no further to one Steve Bannon, who actually is facing some consequences, it seems.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I think Steve Bannon is going to, in about a year or a year and a half or so, get himself somewhere between like 3 to 9 months in a club fed, because he's a fucking clown. My boy Torbs, the guy who runs Gab, made a post where he was like, why didn't Bannon just go before the 1-6 committee and plead the fifth and just get out of there? Because now he might go to jail. And my reaction was, because Steve Bannon has a brand. Steve Bannon couldn't be a weak beta cuck and go before the 1-6 committee and be like, I plead the fifth to all your questions. Can I leave now, please, Miss Cheney? Can I go? Because I think he basically wanted to see if they had the balls to actually go after him. And then when he got indicted, he was like, oh, okay, they're really going to do this, then fuck them. And he went to the FBI, turned himself in, got the mugshot and all that kind of stuff, came out from his processing, and then he was like, I'm going on the offensive. I'm coming for you, Pelosi. I'm coming for you, Schiff. I'm coming for you, Biden. And this is the Steve Bannon brand, him being all bombastic and arrogant and just shaking his fist at the evil libs. And I do wonder if he has to be banking on only getting probation. I mean, this is a man who does not want to spend a day in a jail cell. But he's been indicted for 2 counts of contempt of Congress, and each count carries with it a maximum of 1 year in jail. And so it is very possible he could do a year or so of time. I think he would do less, but again, if you're CV4 shirts and you're the peak physical specimen that guy is, I mean, man, I can't imagine doing any time in prison. That would probably be massively no bueno. But he's going to ride this out, and I'm pretty sure that if you tune into the Bannon War Room now, instead of him plugging whatever dick pills and supplements he shills like Alex Jones, he's probably directing you to BannonDefenseFund.org to help him fight the libs.
And I figure he's just turning this all into money. It's the next grift.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And I mean, hey, maybe he's thinking, yeah, 3 months in prison, I could probably write a book. I can make it work. I mean, it's like, it's really sick that that's like part of your business model now. Is like, how will I deal with my time in prison?
Oh, man.
That seems fun. Do we want to cut to our wonderful ad read for the week before we switch over to our swollen listener mailbag?
That sounds like a good idea to me.
All right. Well, time for us to put the ad in Adventures in Hell World with a message from our sponsors.
The big picture of misinformation seems to get worse each day. QAnon, COVID, the 2020 election, January 6th, climate denialism, and so much more. What are journalists, social media platforms, and society doing about it all? Enter Prism Meta News, a media company on a mission to help you keep eyes on the many fronts of the misinformation conflict. Prism's newsletter, This Week in Misinformation, is a fact-based clearinghouse for all you need to know to stay in the fight. The summary of top stories is an easy 5-minute read, or you can dig deep through the 100-plus links included each week. As far as email signups go, this one is worth it. Put a dent in misinformation culture by getting the free This Week in Misinformation newsletter delivered to your email box. Find Prism Meta News on Twitter or Facebook, or go straight to prismmetanews.substack.com to sign up. And thank you, Prism Meta Media, for sponsoring us and being a part of the show, as it were. I did one of Prism's spaces last week, and it was very fun. And I really just hope that the work they're doing gets out to more people. And I hope
we're just not doing phrasing anymore. I did one of Prism Spaces, eh?
Mm. Yes! Hey, that's what Twitter... That's the terrible term Twitter used for their weird live stream that we... Clubhouse. That was the name of the business thing that came and was immediately destroyed by all the actual tech giants. So, yeah.
They should rebrand it to something a little less provocative, like Backdoor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That way we could tell people how fun it was to do Nexus's backdoor. Yeah, we were in Nexus's backdoor the other night. It was great.
Yeah. Oh god, the aggressive collar tugging from Sarge. Yeah. As creepy and horrifying as all that was, and I'm now getting word that we've had all of our ads canceled and they want refunds. That's unfortunate. But it's time to check out Ye Old Mailbag.
Our listeners got questions. We got answers. It's time for Q&A.
Give them to me.
Snorlax CPAP says, with Polly tweeting out that Attack on Titan video, what's the next anime you would like to see featured in an absolute insane tweet and from which politician?
Oh boy, I don't know. It'd be real wild if Biden just tweeted out him going Super Saiyan. I think I would enjoy that quite a bit. So,
I mean, I feel like so many conservative politicians have like enemies lists, but I'd really love Trump from the Death Note scene. Where the kid's just like orgasmically writing down names in the book, and they're using a bunch of different like camera angles and like directing trickery to make a dude writing names in a book look extra dramatic, where it's like pen flies off the paper, just sweat flies off of his head. That would be great. But Trump is just writing down like Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama.
Oh my god!
I was just thinking of that scene, and like Trump writes down Hillary Clinton's name, and then they smash cut to the scene of her fainting from her pneumonia when she was campaigning against him in 2020, and they just like the Secret Service like stuffing her in the SUV and driving off, and like just the incredible dopamine hit that like we QAnon nerds would get from that would be excessive and terrifying. And
I wish I could come up with one for liberals, but the problem is that liberals are just so boring. I mean, I support them, but they're just way too boring for anime. Like who's the most exciting liberal? Like the most exciting Democrat or whatever is probably AOC. I just can't picture photoshopping her onto anything that's like worth a shit because they're all Snoozapalooza.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something with like Evangelion, but it's just like, anything with AOC and Ava, someone can come up with that. That would be fun.
Yeah.
But what part of Ava? Just all of it.
Yeah, anything, whatever you want. Make her one of the robots fighting angels. I don't know. Or, yeah, no, I'll stay with that.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes.
I can only dig this hole deeper, so yeah. we'll just pull the cord there.
I would just want Marjorie Taylor Greene to do one of the Dragon Ball, just do Dragon Ball Z, because that's basically what QAnon is, where they promise you in the next episode, Hillary Clinton will be totally arrested, and then smash cut to the next episode and time actually stands still again. Next week on QAnon Z, Hillary Clinton will be arrested. That's the entire season.
I can't remember the name of the character, but it was one of the Ginyu Force. It was the fat frog guy who could like stop time as long as his breath was held. And man, there's one episode where he's just got like Krillin and Gohan frozen in time, and he's just like, oh boy, I'm gonna get you. You can't believe how badly I'm gonna get you. Now that you're under my power, I'm gonna get you so bad. Next time on Dragon Ball Z, you don't even know, I'm gonna get you so bad. I just remember, even when I was a kid, I was like super in for the Dragon Ball Z ride. I was just like, man, fucking frog guy, shit or get off the pot. Like, get him or don't.
See, and there's a whole episode they cut from America where frog guy gets his head cut off and just flies around freezing time as a cut off head.
I mean, it seems a lot easier to hold your breath when you don't have lungs.
Yeah.
Oh, God. If you strike him down, he will come back more powerful than you could possibly imagine.
So thank you for the question, Snorlax CPAP. Cleodora Silverstry asks, how loud was your burst of laughter when you heard that anti-vaxxers were trying to remove the vaccine from their bodies using borax baths and drinking bleach? So this was a thing where people that were bowing to the vaccine mandates and getting vaccinated to keep their jobs were rushing home and scrubbing their arms with borax and taking baths like filled with like various like new wave hippy dippy chemicals that would like detoxify your body from the vaccine and keep you pure and remove all the negative consequences of getting the shot from you.
I saw that some people were using snake bite kits, like, which is almost a good idea. It doesn't work, but I saw that a number of anti-vaxxers, instead of in a thing that almost makes sense, were using snake bite kits where it pulls out the venom. But I mean, they were running out to their cars after getting the vaccine, just like, oh, so they can get that sweet, sweet vaccine card.
Yeah. My veins and arteries are still bulging with a sellout and all. So I think that it's a shame that these people are going to such lengths to use dangerous home remedies, including drinking bleach, to try to eliminate the like that's dangerous, that they might hurt or injure themselves or even possibly die, and we wouldn't want any of that. That would suck.
I haven't seen a lot of the bleach drinking. I haven't seen a lot of the MMS. I did hear about the borax arm rubbing, and to me it's kind of a win-win because they think they cheated the toxin out of their body and they're actually vaccinated, and it's less likely for them to get COVID or transmit it. So whatever gets you through it, whatever gets you to take the shot and do it, great. God bless you. Just like we'll all.
You know what we should do? We need to convince them that the flu vaccine will like counteract the coronavirus, the danger of the coronavirus. Like, it's just like, guys, here's the new medical secret. If you go out and get your flu shot, the flu shot will prevent the coronavirus vaccine from modifying your DNA. It's been scientifically proven. So just go get your flu shot immediately. That seems like the best way to do it, right?
Yeah.
That's perfect. That is so good. We need a QAnon promoter to say that. So if there's a QAnon promoter who actually wants to try to save their audience and do a good thing, please pivot to that.
Yeah. So, hey, Sather, I know you're listening. I did my own research. I did use your platform to get flu shots into people to stop the dangerous vax. I've been on your side the whole time. I'm a white hat. My hat is so white. It's covered in double Wagyu beef. You don't even know.
Yeah. Oh, man, double Wagyu. Yeah.
It's made of Wagyu leather, and I've literally just stripped strips of Wagyu beef to it like Lady Gaga. But not like Lady Gaga, because she's a Satanist or whatever.
Yeah, I hate her. Yes. Great save, Al.
Wipe sweat from brow.
Yes.
That went smoothly.
Yeah. Great. Raise my hand up off the death note. All right.
Yeah.
Safe for one more day.
Yeah. So Bobby Ellis asks, how many times will Alex Jones have to sell his house to pay for these lawsuits? For those of you who don't know, Alex Jones has constantly talked about selling his house on his show. And the house has either been sold or has been on the brink of selling like four different times in the past like 2 years. So he's probably going to have to sell that house about like 10 or 20 times to cover the massive amount of settlements he's going to have to cover. What was really funny was I was reading one of the articles about his settlements in Connecticut, and his lawyer was like, we'll be appealing this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, that means Alex has to pay the lawyer, who is Norm Pettis, one of Alex's friends, but that guy ain't working pro bono for Alex because no one would do that. And how do you appeal a default judgment? How do you go to a different judge and say, hey, different judge, we fucked around in Texas and lost by default, and now we've fucked around in Connecticut and lost by default. But this default ruling was against us in Connecticut was bullshit because we were totally playing by the rules. We were totally doing what we were supposed to do. And what new judge is going to listen to them and go, yeah, that sounds right. I will let you have another bite at the apple now. Because, and the thing is, even if he won that appeal, all that would mean was that he would have to go to court and defend himself in court, which, due to these default settlements, it's pretty obvious he knows he fucking can't, which is why he's doing what he's doing. So even if he were to win and have a trial, he would still lose, and he would just be giving his lawyer more money. So that's probably why the lawyer wants to appeal. It's probably what Norm's
then,
doing.
Yeah. Then he would have to pay his lawyer more money, and he'd have to sell yet another layer out of his Matroska house.
Yes. Exactly. So, yeah, all of this is great, and 2022 is going to be awesome, because one day I'm going to wake up and wander to social media, and it's going to be like, Alex Jones owes X millions of dollars to the families of Sandy Hook from Texas lawsuit. And then another day, it's going to say that he owes Y amount of millions to the families from Sandy Hook from a Connecticut lawsuit. And it's going to be like, boom, take that, you piece of shit, Alex Jones. You deserve to get every nickel they take from you is well earned.
Can't wait to see the sweet, sweet hot takes from QAnon people. Like, I'm sure there's gonna be some assholes out there that are just like, can't believe all these families are trying to profit off of the death of their kids. Such animals. And it's just like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
Alex Jones deserves to get bled dry for all of his currency. 100% yeah. Currency.
They're coming for him.
Yes. Reverend Xenofact asks, in some states, with healthcare coming close to collapsing, when the inevitable crisis hits, how will QAnon types and the Republicans react? They'll blame Democrats. They'll blame Biden. It's everyone's fault but us. The fact that we have not taken vaccination and treatment seriously at all, that's on the other people. And oh yeah, by the way, the virus was made in China, and Fauci promoted it and did the gain of function and all this stuff. Just blame, deflect, and our negligence didn't kill you, the bad people killed you. And for most of Republican voters, that's gonna work, because they just want to hate Democrats and blame them for everything anyways.
Yeah, that seems like it's got it about covered. I mean, I wish I could jump in there with something pithy and more on the nose than that, but sometimes Mike Range just nails it. He just knocks it out of the park.
Thank you so much. So thank you for the question, Reverend Xenofact. Pancake Peasant asks, one up in conspiracy theorists by raising them in an even crazier theory is wildly entertaining. Have any of you done this, and what was your favorite result? I think basically just... I had a person that was not well, basically, in with these kinds of things, and I just explained to them that what they were talking about was so like convoluted and nonsensical that why wouldn't the bad guys just nuke everybody? When they had the ability to do that under Clinton, under W, under Obama, and now under Biden, but they could just do it. If the bad guys were just trying to destroy humanity and give the world to Satan, they could have just pushed a button for the past like 40 odd years and achieved it. And why wouldn't they do it? And then they had to pivot into this whole thing about Satan's machinations and this whole thing being like some sort of cosmic ballet between God and the devil. And then I was like, well, why doesn't God just kill the devil? And then it's fun putting them on the back foot. And that's like one of the rare things that you can actually do when you're face to face with one of these people. But on the internet, you can't do it, because if you ever do backfoot someone, they'll just stop talking to you because they don't want to engage, or they'll just ignore what you said and talk over you and go to a different thing. So,
yeah, unfortunately, as funny as it is to spitball counteracting conspiracy theories with more benign or even net positive conspiracy theories, like my clever idea to trick people into thinking that the flu vaccine will get rid of the COVID vaccine, it's much harder to do in practice, because like people just like stick to their dumb conviction. Like mostly the problem is that these people don't want to be told by a liberal. Not a lot of liberals out there on the dangerous conspiracy theory front. I'm sure there's like a non-zero amount of them, but like all the ones that are making headlines are conservatives, and a liberal could literally go to them and just be like, guys, I need you to stop doing what you're doing for a moment to just listen to me. Fire is hot. It will burn you. And they would just be like, fucking liberal, fire is not that hot. And that's just like, so the problem is like, you can tell them whatever you wanted. They're just going to push back against you because of your like political affiliation, because you're not one of the boys. You're not a pure blood in either of the ways.
God, that sounds so awful. I don't know how they ever got to the point where they thought, you know what? Let's call ourselves pure bloods. And that,
I mean, I know exactly how they got to that point.
Yeah.
They were just like, oh, it works on two levels, because we don't have any of the dirty vaccine in our blood, and we don't have any dirty ethnicity in our blood. I see, it works on two levels. We're so clever and witty. Yeah. No one will ever know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
I'm just here like a person with a rational brain that doesn't want to say incredibly racist things.
Yeah. So thank you for the question, Pancake. And our last question is from Troy McClure, who asks, Have you stumbled across this Arizona 24/7 channel on YouTube? Nearly 200,000 subscribers. And he says his name is Scott. And it's pretty pilled. I haven't gotten deep into it because Arizona is now apparently is the new headquarters of QAnon in America, because the dum-dums that run Arizona's Congress were like, we'll let Cyber Ninjas do an audit here. And that's the problem, is that when you open the door for any amount of QAnon crazy, it all comes flying in. And now they have a Trump-approved candidate for governor and secretary of state who both admitted they would not have certified the election of Biden because he obviously cheated, even though their boys at Cyber Ninjas said that Biden won by even more votes than the official count said he won by. I understand why someone would have a YouTube channel called Arizona News and have 200,000 subscribers and be promoting the bullshit content this guy's doing, because Arizona's catnip to these people now. What's really funny to me is that Ron Watkins has apparently forgotten that he's running for Congress. Like, all Ron is doing is just, he's just posting all the shit that everybody else is posting. He's just like, Kyle Rittenhouse is innocent and our votes are being stolen from us and blah, blah, blah. At no point in all of his posts does he ever say anything. And he's like, and when I'm representing the good people of Arizona, I'm going to introduce a bill where burgle, burgle. It's like he did the announcement that he was going to run for office as a publicity stunt, then he got bored and just gave up on it. He's like, oh, running for office is hard.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah. It's like, I've done that like five times in my life where I'm like, I'm running for Congress. And they're like, man, are you really? I'm like, yeah, not really. I mean, it's work, man. I don't want to work. I just want to hang out with my Rei Ayanami doll and just be like, just chill or something. I don't know. So,
on a related note, Troy, if you ever write into the podcast with a question again, I must insist that you lead your next question with, you may recognize me from such previous questions as, have you seen Arizona News Network, and whatever other questions you might be asking us. Really lean into that gimmick.
Yes.
Make us love you, Troy.
And that reminds me, I saw someone on the internet post a message that was news radio really worth it, because we lost Phil Hartman and we launched Andy Dick and Joe Rogan's careers. So like, if you could go back in time and just prevent news radio, it would have done a lot of good for the world.
Yeah. I mean, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. If you think specifically that news radio introduced Andy Dick and Phil Hart to Phil Hartman, and therefore to Phil Hartman's wife, to get her back on coke to have her kill her husband, then no, news radio is not worth it. I would much rather have Phil Hartman alive than news radio on the air. But that's a multi-step process. She was pretty unwell. Seems likely that if that was going to be her terminus for like that story, she was going to get there at some point anyway. But what do I know? We'll only find out once we invent time travel technology. And then at some point, somebody had tried to save Phil Hartman's life by, smashing Andy Dick's knees in with a hammer. Bill Tonya Harding. Bam.
Yes. Yeah. I dealt poker to Andy Dick one time in Las Vegas, and you'll be very surprised to find out that he was drugged up out of his mind.
Did he try to grab your dick and balls?
No, because I don't even know that he was like lucid. I mean, he literally just folded for a half hour and didn't interact with anybody, and it was like his eyes weren't even like tracking. He was physically in the room, but he wasn't there. It was really weird. Like, someone pointed to me, they're like, "Hey, that's Andy Dick over there," and I'm just like, I had to look him up. I didn't even know.
Who?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it because Andy Dick hasn't been relevant like in 20 years?
He had that weird MTV show that was like his vehicle, and really just all I remember about him anymore is that he got Phil Hartman killed, and he had that weird show where he tried to get Ben Stiller to eat fake poop. Yeah.
I remember him showing up on Community and me being very confused as to why the fuck Dan Harmon would let Andy Dick on his show. I'm just like, come on, bud. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
And so that brings us to our question of numerous. What are you looking forward to?
I will start because I have an adorable and wholesome Christmas photo shoot coming up, I believe a week and a half from now ish. It's like not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. A bunch of friends and I we're going to go to JCPenney and we're going to get some professional holiday photos taken of just our friendship group being a bunch of goofs. It's a thing that I did with a group of my other friends like a decade or more ago. And it's just like a nice, fun, wholesome holiday time with friends. You go out, you put on some ugly sweaters, you have a laugh. The last time we did it, the photographer was over the moon that it was a group of like funny 20 somethings that are just there to have like a chill photo shoot and not some sort of horrible family she had to wrangle. So she gave us her employee discount and she was a real delight. So hopefully we'll just have like another good experience. And I think we're going out for some hibachi afterwards and that'll just be a nice way to cap the evening. I am looking forward to a wholesome holiday photo shoot with my friends, followed by hibachi, because I'm a fat guy and I love food.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm looking to play in some more Shin Megami Tensei 5. I'm having a surprising amount of fun with that game because it is a very hard old-style Japanese RPG, but they introduce some systems, so it's less that and it's more fun, and I get to play demon summoning Pokemon. And I've just been having a blast with it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, honestly, getting my booster shot because I work in an incredibly public-facing job. And the beloved Commonwealth of Massachusetts has like declared like grocery store employees and X, Y, and Z employees are considered to be working in like high-danger areas. But for some reason, casino employees are not. And I think that's like the most ridiculous thing in the world when you think of like standing in front of like 6 blackjack players or 9 poker players or X number of roulette players for just hours and hours at a time. But when they came out with the whole thing where like the FDA is going to approve boosters for fucking everybody in the next few days or so, I was just like, score, baby. Like, I want to be as big a mudblood as possible. Like, I want my vaccine stream to have a little blood in it at this point. I just want all of that good stuff there. And beyond that, I'm looking forward to this Thursday night because the Patriots have been beating the shit out of people and the Atlanta Falcons suck. So that should be a hoot and a holler because those two football teams have a hilarious history with each other.
I don't even know who the Chiefs are playing.
Yeah. I think they're playing
whoever they are. They're probably going to struggle to beat them because that's been sort of the Chiefs season this year. Yikes. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, no, they thoroughly trounced the Raiders.
Yeah, you woke up against Vegas this week, which was wild. Pricks cost me money because I had the under. So
how dare you doubt us for so many weeks in a row with their history of losing or barely beating the team that they're...
You put up 13 points against a team that had Jordan Love at quarterback. What the fuck was that?
Hey, we had our punter throw a pass in this last one. The Chiefs will be playing the Cowboys on Sunday. Oh,
well, there's no way you're going to beat America's team.
No.
This is true.
Manifest destiny.
L's love of the term America's team for the Dallas Cowboys is one of my favorite enduring parts of this podcast and our friendship.
Yeah, I mean it really just sticks in my craw. And part of the reason why it sticks in my craw is because the team that was like unquestionably the best in the league for over 2 decades is named the Patriots. How much more America's team can you get? Like, it's not like the fucking it's not like the Washington football team used to be like the Washington Bald Eagles like promoting gun violence. Like, that's the only way you could really be more America's team.
Yeah.
If I had to think of something more American between cowboy and patriot, I know what side I'm landing on. Yeah. And one of them is good. One of those teams used to be good, yeah, like recently, and another one of those teams used to be good like 30 years ago.
Okay, yeah. So the Chiefs schedule for the rest of the year: they play the Cowboys, then they play the Broncos, then they play the Raiders again, then the Chargers. That one's nervous because they...
When did this become Chiefs talk?
You guys made it about football. I'm talking about America's team, the Chiefs.
So to be Kansas City football team.
I was about to mention that they're America's team because they're mildly racist. So that's very American. Yeah.
Supposedly, they're named after a former mayor of Kansas City. And chief is not a Native American term, but it became that. So,
oh yeah, yeah. Was the former mayor named Chief Wahoo? Was that him?
Because we're not in Atlanta.
Is that Cleveland? That's Cleveland. Yeah.
Sorry, I mix it up. What was the name of your racist mascot that you guys got rid of? Wasn't there some racist Indian that rode that horse, and you just pivoted to making the name Warpaint?
The horse's name was Warpaint, and they used to have a guy ride out in a full war bonnet, but they got rid of that in the 70s, and now it's just Arrowhead Stadium. If they stripped out, they could keep the Chiefs as a name. But they need to strip out all the Native American iconography.
I don't think the people of Kansas City are going to stand for that. I'm pretty sure the people of Kansas City want to continue to be racist.
Yeah. It's all kind of tied in together. I don't think it's as simple as that. So we could be the Kansas City Wolves tomorrow and I'd be fine.
I was going to finish up what Els was talking about previously. The inside of the band of the on the neck of Patriot jerseys actually has the phrase "We are all Patriots" on it. So I mean, it's such an easy slam dunk. It's such an easy slam dunk of a thing where it's just like, who doesn't want to be a Patriot? It's so obvious we're America's team, and it's like, nope, the rootin' tootin' shout Cowboys. They're America. Because again. Law enforcement with a proclivity towards using guns upon the citizenry, that's America.
I mean, to be fair, they do represent America in one incredibly on-the-nose way, which is to think that Cowboys fans think their team is great when it turns out that their team kind of sucks.
Yes.
So I can't think of anything more American than that. We're number one, baby, unless you count healthcare or education or any of that stuff. We're number one. Number one in gun violence, and that's it. Yes. Oh, and incarceration. Go us.
COVID death rates, depending on the state.
Anyway, that's enough football talk. I mean, God, we've been talking about football for so long. So I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna produce our pogo sticks. We're gonna bounce out of Hell World for the week. So thank you everybody for listening to another successful episode of Adventures in Hell World. As always, you can support the show for free by telling a friend or giving us a 5-star review or a thumbs up or however it works on whatever podcast platform you listen to us through. Or you could support us with money, which we would vastly prefer because we want to become podcast millionaires and we want to go to Dallas for a live show and get yelled at by QAnon people in person. And you can support us financially by going to patreon.com/pokerpolitics and donating at any one of our tiers. But if you donate at $5 or above, you get access to all of our sweet bonus content, including Cabalin, The Fowler's Deed, Sarge's Conspiracy Book Corner, and other series to follow. We actually have a superior, beautifuler baby for the week. Oh, a sweet, sweet donor in the form of Aaron Nurshark, who has donated to the $20 tier, and we thank them for their support very much. And in addition to their donation, they have given us a little story that we cleared with them to read. It is brief, but it is entertaining. I was a nursing student up at 6:15 in the morning in order to get to my clinical assignment a little early. I was walking down the street, and I found the lower half of a person hanging outside of the hedges that were in front of this fraternity house. I immediately went over and found the rest of him on the other side of the hedge, and I found a strong pulse, so I literally had to wake him up by pouring water from my water bottle on his forehead. He cursed at me. I think it was, "Get off me, bitch!" But then he realized he couldn't get out of the hedge himself. So I helped him, and I walked him, arm over my shoulder. I was having no idea how long he was there or how he got there, but as an aside, I think it says something when people leave you wedged in a hedge after a party. Anyway, I got him out, and one of his forearms and wrists were about 3 times the size they should be. I told him I was walking him to the hospital. It was only a block and a half away, and I told him that I'd take him to the emergency department. He went in and out of being surly and over-lovely-dovely, saying, "Slow down, bitch," and then a second later, "I've never had a stranger be so nice. You're my angel." This went back and forth. I got him to the emergency department registration desk. That's when I found out it was Donald Trump Jr. when he started giving his info. I made sure the triage nurse knew about him and then I had to go to my assigned unit. Later, I saw him in on campus with a cast and a sling. He never recognized me any other time I saw him in passing. I sincerely don't think he would remember any of it. He was that drunk, and he did smell of dry urine, but nursing students can handle that. I heard he was enrolled, but I had always hoped I would never meet him because I would have been pretty skeptical of him after what I saw his dad do to Atlantic City. I'm glad it was a situation where I didn't know or say anything mouthy because he would have probably drunkenly swung at me, but accidentally fall over and hurt something else. Never really talked after that because I think he was in full blockout mode. So that is a funny story about our wonderful, beautiful baby for the week, Aaron Nurshark, and their interaction with a very intoxicated and injured and stuck in a hedge Donald Trump Jr. So there you go. Thank you so much for your support. And thank all of you for your support by just listening to the show or in any of the other superior ways you could support us. However, if you'd like to support an organization that's trying to do a little good in the world, you can do so by donating some money to love146.org. They're an organization whose vision is the end of child trafficking and exploitation. And that's in their words. And it sounds pretty good to me. I'd like to thank DJ Minimal Effort for supplying our intro and our intro music, although he still remains too good for social media. He's an enigma. You'll never know who DJ Minimal Effort is because he refuses to be one of these cool cats with a TikTok doing flossing dances. But you know who does love flossing dances? That's our voiceover artist friend, Frosty, who you can find on Twitter at FrostyVO. He's the voice of Q when we need it, but you probably recognize him more as the person who does all of the bumps for the show, including our mailbag and all that stuff. So thank you again, Frosty. If you can't get enough of myself and Sarge, you can listen to more of us on our pop media podcast, Binge Wordy. That's BINGEWORDY, where we talk about pop media. We've been doing a lot of movies recently because there's been a lot of movies to discuss. Right now, we're in the middle of new release November. We have talked about Dune, and our next podcast will be on the Eternals whenever we can schedule our recording for it. You can find us on Twitter at Binge Wordy. So, for myself, Mr. Hellworld L, and my lovely, bald, and beautiful co-host, Hellworld Sarge, and the even more lovely, even less bald, QAnon expert extraordinary, Mr. Mike Rains, good speed, Patriots!